Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org.
Welcome back to our SDI podcast series on spiritual travel. I am Friederike Helmier. I'm serving as the Director of Programs and Events at SDI, and I am honored to be joined today by Kristen Hobby. Kristen is the Asia Pacific Coordinator for SDI. She's an Australian spiritual director, a retreat leader, meditation teacher based in Singapore, and she is a former member of our SDI Coordinating Council. Kristen earned her PhD from Australia Catholic University with a specialization in childhood education. Is that right, Kristen?
Yeah, spirituality of young children.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, we're so pleased that you can join us today. We've done a podcast already introducing this series on spiritual travel, and we were honored to speak with Valerie Brown and Carol Korsch about an upcoming SDI journey to Ghost Ranch this November. And Kristen is our next guest in the series as we are exploring what it means to travel mindfully and spiritually. And it's an opportunity for us to share a bit with our listeners about some of the really exciting journeys that SDI has planned coming up. So, Kristen, before we dive into some of the journeys that we have coming up, and a teaser in advance, we're going to be speaking about a really exciting journey to Australia for July of 2020 and an upcoming journey we have to Nepal and Bhutan this November. But before we go there, I'm going to pull a leaf out of the Krista Tippett playbook and ask you about a childhood experience. And that is, do you have any experiences of really significant, meaningful travel when you were young, when you were a child, that maybe has informed the way that you travel now as an adult?
Yes, I do. Yeah, there's a few things that come to mind, but I think probably my first aeroplane ride. So I was 11. I was between finishing primary school or elementary school and starting high school. And I had an uncle who was living up in Darwin. So I grew up in Melbourne, which is in south southern part of Australia. And I had an uncle who was living up in Darwin, which is the tropical north. And he had been living there for a while. And my grandmother actually decided to go and visit him during that Christmas holidays. Our main school break is December, January in Australia. And so she took me on my first plane ride to Darwin. And I think there was something that happened either on that plane ride or in the couple of weeks that I was in Darwin that planted a seed, started a love of traveling. And Darwin is in very, very different to Melbourne. It's tropical. That time of the year, they call it the wet, and because there's really only the dry season and the wet season in Darwin. And every day the clouds would gather on the horizon, getting darker and darker and darker, till about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, it would just release and there would just be more rain than you could possibly imagine, raining in about an hour or so. And wherever we were, sometimes my nana and I would find ourselves in a phone box, you know, while the rain came past, or we would be somewhere else. And the beautiful tropical foliage and the flowers and things that were tiny little indoor plants in Melbourne were, you know, massive, huge trees in Darwin. And yeah, it really did set up a love of exploration and traveling and just seeing the world and how people live in different parts of the world. And Yeah, it was really quite a formative experience at 11. So, and I've been traveling ever since.
Oh, I love that story. I love that you also began it with, you know, the first plane ride, which I think for some people is a distinct memory. And of course, nowadays is often not something people can remember. They took their first plane ride when they were so young. So that's exciting that you had it at 11 and can really remember that first sensation of getting in a plane and going to a faraway land.
Yeah.
So now as an adult, you lead a lot of retreats and travel experiences. And if I'm not mistaken, they're all kind of cast in a spiritual framework. What does it mean for you to engage in travel that is explicitly spiritual or mindful as opposed to sort of regular everyday travel?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this question. I was fortunate to listen to Valerie Brown and just getting her insight into that. And so I've been thinking about it in my own, in terms of my own experience. And I think there's a lot of words we could use, journey or pilgrimage or retreat, but I actually think it's got more to do with the mindset, with the attitude that you go with. So we've all had those holidays where we've gone and it's been busy and we've ticked off, you know, all of the sights in a day. We go to Paris and we see the Arc de Triomphe and we do the Eiffel Tower. And for me, there's an invitation to go a little deeper in the travel experience. And I think it's, for me, it's how can I be open to this new place? And so being open for me means putting aside my assumptions and prejudices of a particular place. You know, often in the news, we may have particular attitudes toward a place, but it's really going and saying, how can I be transformed by this place? What is it about this place that's unique? What is it about these people? And I have this deep fascination with two things. One is, how do people live? So it's the ordinary. It's how do people do their washing and shopping and cook and look after their children and take their kids to school? It's that, just the ordinary, and how diverse that is around the world, you know, just the simple act of living and doing life. And I often think about my travel in terms of just doing life in other countries, you know. Yeah. And the other thing that I've always been fascinated, and it's probably a reason why I'm a spiritual director, is I'm infinitely fascinated with people's faith journeys. So how does their faith, expression of faith, their understanding of the transcendent, how does that inform them, nurture them, get them through the hard times, the good times? How do they celebrate life? And so for me, the simple act of sitting in a church or a temple or seeing, you know, a group of monks walk down the road, or to be with monks meditating and chanting, it's this, it just evokes this deep curiosity and interest in the world in me, in terms of just how people live and have faith in the world. I don't think I'll ever get tired of observing and seeing that in different ways.
That's such a beautiful example of the way in which you are bringing a lens that creates a spiritual experience regardless of where you go. It doesn't sound as though you need to be in sort of a mystical or conventionally known thin place or on a mountaintop or in a holy temple for you to have that travel experience be spiritual. I love the way that you are describing the blurring of the sacred and the mundane and finding something sacred in the mundane and in the washing. I really love that. Everywhere you go, you think about how do people wash their clothes here? And that in itself, experiencing and witnessing and learning about that is a sacred experience.
I had an experience in Bhutan. There's an iconic site called Tiger's Nest that if you ever Google Bhutan and, you know, you click on the images, it comes up. It's this incredible 8th century temple that they've built on a rocky mountain, side of a mountain. And, you know, the mind boggles as to how they actually built it, how they took, you know, step by step up this mountain, all the materials they need to build this incredible temple. And the walk is part of most trips to Bhutan, and we've certainly got it scheduled for our trip we're doing in November. And when I did the walk myself about 18 months ago on my first trip to Bhutan, I got close to the temple, I remember saying to my husband, I don't think I'm going to go into the temple. I feel like just sitting outside and just kind of just absorbing it, you know, from nature. And anyway, he said, but you've walked all this way, you know, it's a fairly significant 3-hour hike. I said, yeah, but I just feel at this moment, I just kind of need to just sit and just, you know, kind of. And so he went off with the guide and my daughter, and he comes back about half an hour later, and I'd had a lovely, lovely moment to myself of just, you know, absorbing it and watching people come up. And he came up to me and he goes, Kristen, the monks are chanting. You have to go and see them. I'm like, oh, he goes, no, you have to. So my guide took me and we went into a little temple, and it's, you know, it's maybe 5 meters by 5 meters. So I don't know, 6 yards by 6 yards. And there's about 30 monks all sitting cross-legged on these little cushions, and they're all dressed in their beautiful saffron robes and they're chanting. And as soon as I walked in, I knew why my husband had told me I had to go. And so I said to my guide, who was also Buddhist, I said, would it be okay if I sat? Because there was kind of a little tiny little sitting area. And he said, yes. And so I sat down and I just crossed my legs and I just closed my eyes. And just that sense of the monks, that chanting that just kind of imbued the air and kind of went through every cell of my body. And then just this, and then I love the Buddhist practice of the loving kindness, this idea that you find peace and love in your own heart and you spread it. And I was doing that in my mind, even though I'm pretty sure it wasn't exactly what the monks were chanting, but that sense of kind of what was starting here in this room, in this beautiful chant, going out, you know, emanating throughout all of kind of Bhutan and the world, this prayer for peace and love. And it was really, it was just one of those really beautiful experiences.
Wow, that's extraordinary. Yeah. Well, since you brought up Nepal and Bhutan, tell us briefly about what you and your co-facilitator, Joe Rankin, have planned for the SDI journey to Nepal and Bhutan this November.
Yeah, so it's interesting because there are a couple of similarities between the Australian pilgrimage that we're going to be talking about and Bhutan and Nepal, in that they are both spectacularly beautiful natural environments. And so in some ways, the role of myself as retreat leader in both of these places is actually kind of to get out of the way, you know, to kind of step back and let the environment of both of those places be kind of the third teacher or the inspiration for people. So Bhutan is very much a country. The international airport only opened in 1987, so it's very new to international tourists. They don't let a lot of people in. They're very, very careful about tourist numbers. They don't want the country, you know, filled with backpackers and tourists trampling over their beautiful environment. It's a very hilly country. It's mountainous. It's you know, at the foot of the Himalayas, and it's stunning. It's stunning in a way that I've never seen. It's pristine. It sounds kind of crass, but the best way to describe it is that it hasn't been wrecked. You know, it hasn't been wrecked by commercialism, by, you know, you won't see Starbucks and McDonald's and shopping malls. And, you know, it's people in villages and small towns going about their life. About 80% of them dressed in their traditional beautiful dresses. So the girls, the women wear kiras, which is a silk brocade jacket over a hand woven long skirt. The men wear a gol, which is like a kind of like a dressing gown, like a woven kind of dressing gown. They tie up with a belt around and going about their daily life. And so it's pristine, it's beautiful. There are snow-capped mountains and waterfalls and wide rivers. And so having Joe there with the photography aspect, just inviting us to see, you know, to see the landscape through the lens of the camera as that creative contemplative way of seeing. And then kind of me coming in and just inviting people to be in that environment. So it may look like stopping at the side of the road and having a cup of tea mindfully and taking the time to drink a cup of tea, just absorbing it. It may be a walking meditation through the forest. It may be just sitting, gazing upon a beautiful Dzong temple, you know, at the confluence of two rivers. So it's just really just inviting people into the space that is Bhutan, and just to absorb that sense of peace. There's a sense of peace that I've never experienced anywhere else. It's a calm, it's a peace in the people, it's a peace in the landscape that you can't help feel. It's a palpable sense of, oh, I think this is how we're supposed to live our lives. You know, I don't think it's about spending our weekends shopping or amassing money. I think it's about being in relationship to the people around us and the environment, you know, and perhaps transcendent if that's, you know, for some people. So that's our hope for Bhutan. And I hope it's not too kind of esoteric, but it's really just come enjoy the beautiful environment and just dwell there for a while and just see what gets transformed in your own life by doing that.
You know, it's remarkable that you, as a very seasoned and experienced spiritual director, and Joe as a very experienced teacher in photography, I think it takes a very strong sense of self for you both to know when you step up as leaders and teachers, and when you're in a space where, as you said, the landscape will be the teacher. It reminds me of when a rabbi or Hebrew teachers will allow the text to be the primary instructor rather than the voice of a perceived authority to impart knowledge and wisdom, but instead let something other than the human be the teacher. And it sounds like you and Joe have a real sense of letting this unique landscape and culture be the guide on this journey.
Yes, definitely.
Well, for our listeners out there, the trip to Nepal and Bhutan for this November is closed. But if this sounds very exciting, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here at SDI and let us know if this is the kind of thing you would like us to continue to offer in the future.
Support for this podcast comes from Spiritual Companionship for Our Times, SDI's annual gathering of spiritual companions happening in Santa Fe, New Mexico, April 23rd through 26th, 2020. Registrations are now open with super early bird pricing available through September 15th. We'll be celebrating SDI's 30th anniversary and charting the road ahead as we seek to welcome more and more people to the transformational gifts of spiritual companionship and to make this healing modality available to every person on the planet. Learn more now about our annual conference at www.sdievents.org. And now here's part two of our conversation.
So Kristen, you also mentioned the journey that's planned to Australia for July of 2020. This is going to be taking place in Queensland at a place called Mossman Gorge. And I'm just going to read the description of it briefly, and then I'm going to invite you to share a little bit more about this journey. At the heart of Indigenous culture are stories, oral traditions sung or spoken aloud and passed down through the generations. Western cultures are only beginning to see the depth and longevity of these stories. They are not just creation stories explaining why the emu does not fly or how the rainbow lorikeet got its colors, but they tell of the arrival of white men and even go as far back as the melting of the last ice age. Stories are also woven around and grounded in the natural landscape, the history of the tribes laid down upon a stone, a termite mound, or a copse of trees, recited as people move through the country. These song lines are ancient repositories of their stories. This journey is an invitation for participants to bear witness to these ancient stories, to explore their own stories, and to notice in what ways our human experiences transcend our perceived differences and mirror each other in the past and present. With a deep passion for narrative and its intersection with spiritual direction and companionship, the journey guides will lead a healing and transformative experience of seeing our stories anew and from different perspectives. What an extraordinary offering. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to want to create and facilitate a journey that's structured around the idea of storytelling?
Yeah, so this journey had its beginnings back in 2014 at the Santa Fe Spiritual Directors Conference, and it's beautiful that SDI going back to Santa Fe. And it was a conversation between Diane Millis and I, and it was just one of those, I don't know, conversations over a coffee. Wouldn't it be great? You know, those kind of those beginning dream, beginning conversations. And wouldn't it be great to lead a retreat or a journey to Australia? And we kind of just kept that little dream going until Seifu began as executive director of SDI and started talking about journeys. And I think he actually came to me and said, gee, we should do one in Australia. And I said, yes. And we need to bring Diane because Diane and I had been talking about this. So the idea for me, I'm a white Australian. I don't have Indigenous heritage that I know of, yet I am deeply respectful of the relationship in which the Indigenous people have with the land. I've had a few encounters, I've had a few conversations, I've been to workshops, and every time I'm moved by this deep, inseparable relationship that Indigenous people have with the land. It's not, the land isn't something that you farm or you build a house on. The land is your expression. It's, you're in deep relationship with land. And that idea of song lines, this idea that oral history is laid down in natural features. And it struck me recently that if you were to chop down a tree in Indigenous land, you're not just chopping down a tree, you're chopping down part of an oral history. That might be a whole tribe's history or a whole event that happened at that spot. So it's me trying to as a white person to try and understand the depth of that relationship. And so it's something that I think is, I just want to share with the world, because, you know, more and more evidence comes out that they have such an understanding, like we were talking in that introduction about, they know about all the star constellations. They know about the Ice Age. They know about things that happened. It's just amazing. So that's what I want to share. And so this opportunity to create a journey. And then with Diane Millis's beautiful work that she's done with narrative and stories, and then to weave it in to our story. So how can we as non-Indigenous enter into a place and be invited into that same relationship? So the same relationship with the land, with the Indigenous people, with their wisdom, and then how that can transform us. So how do our stories transform when we get given that insight? So we also have another guide for that retreat, a lady called Patricia Courtenay. Mm-hmm. She's an Indigenous, beautiful, beautiful Indigenous woman. She was born in Townsville, which is slightly south of Cairns. So, but she lives in the Cairns area. And I was fortunate enough to meet her when I went back to Australia last year. And she's going to be, I believe, that beautiful bridge. She's going to be she's going to give us that ability to enter into those stories, into that wisdom, into that heritage. And in a way that I think is really unique. It doesn't happen very often in Australia that a group of people will sincerely and with the intention of learning be in relationship with Indigenous people. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen as much as it should. So I think this is going to be really unique. Again, like Bhutan, we are in one of the most stunning natural areas. We have two World Heritage areas coming together in the Great Barrier Reef with the Daintree Rainforest. And so just to be in that environment. So Mossman Gorge is a national park. It's also an Indigenous centre. It was built maybe 8-9 years ago, run and managed by Indigenous people, and they run tours. And so they do Dreamtime tours where you can go and you're led by an Indigenous person they tell Dreamtime stories. There's one part of the tour where you sit down in a kind of a, just like a natural kind of theaterette. The guide invites you to close your eyes and he'll tell you a Dreamtime story, you know, why something about, you know, why the emu, you know, why the emu doesn't, you know, fly like we mentioned, or another sort of Dreamtime tour story. And so that's going to be kind of one of the centerpieces of the tour. We're also going to go up to Cape Tribulation, which right deep in the heart of that natural environment. Beautiful, just a stunning area where that, again, that tropical rainforest meets the sea. We're also going to do an exercise where we're going to invite some of the Indigenous elders from the area, not just Cairns area, but up from Cooktown. And I've always had this dream of kind of sitting at the feet of Indigenous elders and just kind of, you know, gleaming their wisdom. You know, what is it that, you know, sustains them and nourishes them? You know, that same question I was talking about before that always incites me. There's the natural beauty, there's the storytelling, there's the Indigenous wisdom, and then there's the storytelling from Diane and I, which is going to kind of weave it all together in a way that is, I think, going to be deeply transforming, formative for people. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Kristen, what a rich tapestry you just wove of this journey of the people and the place and the experience. That's just beautiful. As a reminder to our listeners, this is happening next July, a year from now, July of 2020 in Queensland, Australia. And I believe registration is open now on the SDI website. If you go to sdijourneys.org, you can get all the information and even book yourself a spot on this extraordinary journey. So if we think about a spiritual director, a spiritual companion, someone who identifies in this role, in what ways would going on this journey to Australia kind of augment the toolkit in an explicit way of a spiritual companion? What can they hope to experience and bring back that can enrich their calling and their practice of spiritual accompaniment or spiritual companionship?
Yeah, so I think as spiritual directors, we listen. That's our role. We listen and we're present to other human beings on their spiritual journey. And I think both the journeys offer another way of listening. So there's an invitation to listen more deeply to land, to Indigenous wisdom that I think can only transform and help us as spiritual directors. Particularly the work around the storytelling with Diane, I think the narrative, how that narrative intersects with spiritual direction. I've been working with Diane for the last 12 months as she's writing her book, and we ran a workshop in Seattle at the Seattle conference. And for me as a spiritual director, it has so helped me and informed my practice as a spiritual director to be so much more respectful of people's stories and to come to the realization that people's stories are never finished. We're always writing our stories. We can always go back into a story, look at it from a different perspective, as someone who's older, or, you know, from another person's point of view. And I think that has deepened my practice as a spiritual director, and in my own work, doing some deep work with some of my stories that I thought I knew and were done and dusted and had their lessons learned. But for me to keep going back into those stories, what else? What else is there to learn? And I think just the idea that of different, of another way of seeing the world, particularly that Indigenous lens where we're so deeply connected and inseparable from each other and from the land, that it really can inform us as a director of how we're all part of, you know, that woven creation. So I think it's an extraordinary opportunity for spiritual directors to broaden their own stories, to broaden their own experience, to hear from other, mm-hmm. to see the world in new and exciting ways.
Yes, yes. Thank you. A reminder to folks out there, SDI is really committed to doing our very best to make these trips accessible and affordable, and we do have scholarships. So if you are feeling something stirring in your heart that is calling you to consider this trip, please don't forget that we do have some scholarship funds available. Kristen, what a wonderful brief journey you've taken us on here on this podcast into and out of the experiences coming up in Nepal and Bhutan this November and in Australia next year. Any final thoughts or stories or musings you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I just did want to encourage, a majority of our members are based in North America and Canada, and I know it's a long way. And I want to acknowledge, I've done the trip many times to the States. I know it's a long trip, but I really encourage people to do it. It's probably one of those once in a lifetime opportunities to come to Australia. Give yourself plenty of time to get used to the time zone and the jet lag, and you take it, use it as an opportunity to maybe extend your trip and see other parts. I'm very happy to talk to people about other parts of Australia they may want to consider. So I just, yes, it's a long way, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. Yes. Mm. Thank you, Kristen. And on that note, I'll just put in a little plug that being in the lovely position of getting to have a hand in the journeys that are unfolding for SDI in the coming years, I am really committed to expanding our conception of where we can go and what a journey can be and what we can do. So I'm inviting folks out there who are listening, if you've got an idea for a spiritual journey, some kind of mindful travel or soulful travel that you think would be a really excellent journey for SDI to sponsor and manifest, please don't hesitate to reach out. Again, you can write to journeys@sdiworld.org. And let's all envision a variety of wonderful and meaningful and soulful ways that we can go on journeys together, close to home and far away and short and long and all sorts of different expressions of spiritual travel. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. It was delightful to be here. Thank you.
This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others. Thank you.